Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
B.I.B. Radio. Today is February 16th, 2017. And I am your host, along with my co-host, Brother Robert 11X. Are you there, Robert?
I sure am. How are you today, CC?
I'm great. I am excellent. I couldn't be better, honestly. I'm so happy to be on the show tonight. Wow, it's just been a fun-filled past week. You and I went to see, which, you know, everybody should do this every once in a while. Go see a play. We went to see To Kill a Mockingbird, and the author of the book was Harper Lee. Very, very old story. But we went and saw a play here locally in St. Louis. What did you think of that play, Robert?
Well, it was my very first play I've ever attended. I've been on this earth for 51 years, and I've never taken the time to, you know, enjoy myself like that. And for that to be my first play, it was very emotionally provoking. It was a very good play. Definitely one that I would say, if you're going to see a play for your very first time, that's one that I would say go see. It was very, very, very good, and I thank you for that invite and allowing me to accompany you on your birthday.
Oh, well, I too thank you for accompanying me on my birthday. But everybody who, I mean, I'm sure most people have heard of To Kill a Mockingbird. You can definitely go online and watch it. I believe it's on YouTube. But long story short, basically you can look at that movie and really align it with the events today. You know, black people have always been falsely accused. There's some white woman involved falsely accusing a black man of doing something to her, and actually it's the other way around. The white woman actually makes the advances or something crazy, and then the black man ends up going to jail. In this case, the black man went to jail and he ended up getting shot in jail. They said that they shot him because he was trying to escape climbing the fence, but he only had one arm, so I don't know how he could climb a fence, a prison fence, and get out, or try to get out with one arm. I mean, unless he just went absolutely crazy because he was in prison and was trying to get out by any means necessary, which that's very possible too. But I'm just thinking to myself, these people just shot this man. Now, we know it was a play, but at the same time, it is our reality today. Nevertheless, yes, that was To Kill a Mockingbird. We saw it at the Webster University campus. So if you are here locally in St. Louis, please get your tickets and go see To Kill a Mockingbird. All right. So let's get on with our programming here. So today, we are so happy to have a guest, and his name is Little Chef DJ. He's a chef, little five-year-old. I believe he's 5 years old, and he's cooking up a storm. I mean, his mom can't even contain him. He just is cooking and preparing meals healthily and wants to show you how to do it. And from what I can see, he's on many venues in St. Louis here. I happened to see him at the flea market, his mom, his dad, his little brother, and then he had another little brother, little baby brother. And so I'm just talking to him like I normally do. You know, I talk to people and found out that he was an entrepreneur. And I'm like, wow, okay. So this little chef has been on TV programs, radio programs, for cooking. But he also has a few vending machines, I learned. Now, this is something everybody can definitely pick up on, you know. He has some vending machines, and I mean, that's a very good business to be in. Robert, have you ever been in a vending machine?
No, there's a guy in the flea market, Ed is his name. He was sharing some stories with me about it. He had a vending machine business, and he was saying how lucrative it was when he was in it.
Hmm.
So it's supposed to be very lucrative, though.
Right, I can imagine. I mean, you just have to get those machines into, like, salons and car dealerships and things like that. I guess the biggest investment is the machine itself. And then, of course, you have to keep it supplied, which if it was me, I'd just go to Costco or Sam's Club. But as we learned way back, they also have hair vending machines now. That's really changing the game. So when you go to the salon, you don't have to come with your own hair because they have a hair vending machine. So you could just buy your hair right from the machine. Amazing. So he and his mom are going to talk to us about his business. I'm not saying he has a hair vending machine, but he might want to look into that. Then we are going to get on. I got on the phone with Denise Green, who works for the Dudley Corporation. And we've talked about this before, you know, Mr. Joe Dudley Sr. He has a gala every year. Last year was the pre-launch of the gala for this year, where he will be turning 80 years old. And it's a birthday celebration. And it's also a Fuller and Dudley Entrepreneurship Museum fundraiser. So Mr. Dudley likes to speak of his mentor, which is Mr. S.B. Fuller. And he put his name on this fundraiser. So they're raising funds to build the first Black Entrepreneur Museum. And I think that that's pretty wonderful. And Denise will tell us more things about it in the phone call. But just so you all know, we will provide a link in VIB Radio telling you how to get tickets to the gala. I would definitely recommend that you buy tickets to go to this. Whether you're an entrepreneur, aspiring entrepreneur, or regular person that goes to work, this is definitely something that you want to be at. But it's going to be Sunday, May 21st, 2017, and it's a black tie affair. It's at the Benton Convention Center, 301 West 5th Street in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Zip code is 27101. 4 o'clock p.m. to 5 p.m. Is a reception. 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. is a live entertainment, gala, and the dinner. And like I said, it's definitely one that you don't want to miss out on because it's really a part of history being made right here. I'm just so proud to be a part of this whole entrepreneurial movement that we're a part of right now, because there are big moves being made, especially since people are seeing that, you know, things are not what they thought that they were. So it's a chance to network and just build together. So I'm excited about that. So Robert, let's see what's been going on. Oh, okay. I wanted to talk about the flea market a little bit. And so I wanted to give everybody a little bit of information. So I had a young lady and her family come into the flea market, and we just happened to be talking, and it just so happened the young lady needed, you know, employment. She needed a job. She's a student, and you know, that was great. So I took her resume. She, matter of fact, she brought the resume back over to me later, and I was excited to get her going. But before I could get her going, she let me know that she has some disabilities. And this was like the day, pretty much the day of, that she was going to be working. And your first inclination is, oh, well, I can't use her. You know, that just is not going to work. But people, I would tell you, go ahead and hire our Black youth. Go ahead and hire them. They don't need that type of rejection. Find something that they're good at. Find something that you can utilize them for, so they can continue to build their skills. I mean, maybe their skills are not so good in one area, but there's another area that you can definitely utilize them in. And that's what we've decided to do, because I definitely don't want to throw anybody in the garbage. I mean, that makes no sense. It is a great opportunity for that young person to be around a business and learn to build business for themselves. This particular young lady, I know she's going to go far in life. I don't know if she knows too much about being an entrepreneur, but being in this environment, she definitely will learn what she needs to learn in becoming an entrepreneur. I think she's going to become a childcare provider. That's what she's going to school for anyway. So I'm very excited to have her on board. And again, don't throw anybody away in any of our Black youth. Find a place for them. I mean, it could be the most, the smallest job, but just find a place for them. Don't throw them away. That's something that they face outside in that other world. What do you think about that, Robert?
I think that's a great message to our entrepreneurs and to those Black business owners. You, like myself and like most business owners, we have learned to be so many different people in our business. I mean, we cover a lot of different positions, and so our desire is to find someone who can cover a lot of different positions as well, and we may get a little disappointed when we don't find that type of person. But if you was to find that type of person, you would find them owning a business just like you, you know?
Right.
So, as you just said, you definitely have to find their strong points, like we did with this young lady, you know. And we're still searching. We just don't want to throw her away. She's a very intelligent young lady, good personality, and she really tries hard. She works hard, you know. So we had her doing some pricing and stuff like that. And like I say, you know, you can't expect to find you, the person you are, especially if you've been in business for some years. You have trained yourself to be above and beyond. So you have to find those that have that that drive to try to be their best and work with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I definitely agree. So I'm excited to continue to work with her. But, you know, honestly, you've done that all along, because there's been youth that you've brought on to help and to learn and to grow. You know, I've seen you do that. So, I mean, it's not really anything new for you, but yeah. All right. So let's segue into our guest, our only guest. We only have one guest tonight. They are on the line, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves. So let's go ahead and get them on right now. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Uh-oh, wait, that's the wrong one. Hello. Oh, it's still muted.
Hi.
Hello.
Cece, you had the right person.
Hi.
There he is.
Oh, the thing jumped around, I guess. Okay, that is the right. Hi, who are we talking to?
Little Chef DJ.
Little Chef DJ. Wow, how are you tonight, sir?
Good.
Good. Well, this is Miss Cece, and we have Brother Robert on the phone, too.
yourself, okay? How you doing, man?
Good.
You doing good?
Yes.
Did you cook today?
No.
Oh, okay, because I thought we was going to get a late night dinner or something.
Not today. All right. So, little chef, is your mommy there with you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's talk to mommy for a second, okay?
Hello.
Hello, mom. How are you?
I'm fine, you?
Okay, good. I don't want to keep calling you mom, so go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Tiara.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Little Chef DJ's mom.
Yes, you are the mompreneur. You are his manager, his mominger.
Yes.
All right. Well, I am so excited that you all decided to come on. Like I was telling our listening audience before, I was so excited when you all came to the marketplace, and you just exuded Sunday worship. But you all had not been to church, from what I understand. That's just how you look every day. You dress your family up, and you go out, and you look good. And it shows that you are an entrepreneurial family. So, wow, I'm like just blown away by that. It was wonderful. So tell us, how did you get started with Little Chef being a chef?
I threw him in the kitchen because I was going to school for nursing, and we were talking about poor eating habits and, you know, with kids and everything like that. So I'm like, if I throw him in the kitchen, I wonder, will he eat better? So I threw him in the kitchen. He had fun. He liked it. I was like, okay, well, you can cook as long as you cook healthy. So then we just came up with this Little Chef DJ thing and just started promoting eating healthy.
Wow. Okay, so what was the first thing that Little Chef got to cook?
The first thing was pancakes.
Oh, my goodness, pancakes. Ooh, I know he was excited about that.
Yes.
And oh,
then we
my
started moving towards healthier things like parfait yogurt and salads and things of that nature.
Robert, do you have some questions for Tiara? I know you do.
At what age did he start cooking pancakes?
We started at 5 years old.
At five, how old is he now?
He just turned 7 on Valentine's Day.
5 years old, he's over at the stove cooking some pancakes, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's just great. Feel like if you teach kids things, they'll learn it. It's nothing that they can't learn, so.
And that's true. I agree. If you get them early and start teaching them early, because, you know what, sister? When they're that young, that's their nature to want to learn. And,
right.
And that's exactly what they do. The younger they are, the easier they are to teach whatever it is you want them to learn, because that's just the nature of them. They're ready. They're hungry for information and how to do anything that they just want to know, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing to me. And now he's not picked it up like the trumpet and put it back down. He's continued for this last 2 years cooking.
Right, because to him it's not learning, it's playing in the kitchen. So, in adults, we look at that as like taboo. Like, I'm not putting my child in the kitchen. They might burn themselves. They might, you know, mess up something. But, you know, I feel like that's okay to make mistakes, because that is how you learn, and you learn through play, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. And see, you sound like you are an early childhood educator right there, learning to play. I'm telling you, because you are absolutely right. That's my background, early childhood, and you are absolutely right. They learn through play. That is excellent. They learn through experience. They learn, they're kinesthetic, tactile learners. They're very hands-on, just like a lot of Black people. We're very hands-on. So that is excellent. So now I noticed you also have something going on, or the chef has something going on with some vending machines.
Yes, he has 3 vending machines. He has 2 of them placed at his father's job, and we're looking to place another vending machine. They have healthy snacks in it, so we're trying to promote healthy eating through all aspects. So, and we're actually working on getting him a community garden as well.
Hmm. Well, you know what? The chef is off to a wonderful start. I mean... You all are some excellent parents. Now, what were you doing before this? Were you actually a nurse, or you just went to school?
Just going to school for nursing, you know, working as a CNA in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not being my own boss, so.
Well, you know what? You started, because now you are the boss, and that is mm-hmm. very important that your son sees that he can control what it is that he becomes in life. You know, you all are teaching him that early, and I'm so thankful for that. And I noticed that you have two more children. Now, what are the expectations for them right now?
We're building an empire, so they already okay. know we, every day, they with their dad, they said, when we grow up, we're going to be entrepreneurs. So mm-hmm. it's going to run in the family. It's not going to be just Little Chef DJ, and we're going to, you know, have a foundation where, you know, eventually he won't have to work. His stuff will make money for him. The vending machines will make money for him. He can come out with a cookbook. You know, there's so much that he can do underneath that name and sit back and just make money.
And there you go.
And we're going to get the other kids in, too, because this is a family thing. So,
like you said, you're building an empire, and our expectation is always that they will pass it down to their children.
Right.
That now, generational wealth.
I got a question for you. Now, I want to make sure I heard this right. You pushed him to be an entrepreneur, and at that time that you were pushing him, you were working a job?
Yes, I was.
Now, I want to salute you, sister, for that. I want to salute you for that, because that's something that I suggested to some ministers that I know throughout the country. I had a chance to talk to some minister, Muslim ministers, and you know, and one of the things that I was suggesting is that they tell the congregation, the brothers and sisters, to do for self, even if you're not doing for self. I said, because the more you hear yourself saying do for self, the more that ideal is fertilized in your own mind, and then eventually you'll begin to do for self. But you're leading the flock in the right direction. And that's something that's hard for a lot of people to grasp. What you say you have done is to be able to teach a child or people to do something that is correct, and even if they're not doing it themselves. So I salute you on that one, sister.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm blown away too, I'm telling you, because it takes a certain kind of person to not only make, because in making him an entrepreneur, you made yourself an entrepreneur. Because you have the job of managing your son. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like two birds with one stone right there. So that is like so excellent. And we definitely want to help promote what it is that Little Chef is doing, you know, at any time. I mean, anytime you all want to come on and talk about anything, or if you want to run a commercial, we're definitely open to running a commercial for him, or whatever you want to do, just let us know. And we are happy to collaborate, because we definitely support the youth being entrepreneurs.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. So what is next on the menu for Little Chef? What is he about to get going soon?
Okay, well, tomorrow he has, no, not tomorrow, Saturday morning he has an event at the Union Station, downtown St. Louis. He does mm-hmm. cooking demonstrations. So he'll be doing a cooking demonstration with the American Heart Association.
Mm. Now that is excellent. What is he going to be cooking?
Well, he's going to make something simple. He's going to do trail mix, but he's going to explain the benefits of, you know, peanuts and almonds, and why it's good for you heart-wise, for, you know, to prevent heart disease.
Okay, now how do you prep him for such a thing?
Well, he kind of already knows, you know, how to make a trail mix. It's real simple. And we just kind of rehearse, you know, his lines and stuff like that. He's pretty good with remembering things, so.
Okay. Wow, that's just amazing. And we really do take the intelligence of small children for granted. I'm sitting here wondering, like, oh, Lord, how do you get him in front of the people? I mean,
well, he's been doing cooking demonstrations for, like, the last year, I want to say. So he's been interacting with people, so he knows how to be professional in how to speak, say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. He knows all this stuff. Mm. So it's just, you know, we just been prepping him, and it's just been coming second nature to him.
You guys are on top of it. I'm telling you, I'm just interested in just seeing what you all produce later on. And when you have a daughter, ooh, what is she going to be? A little princess chef or something. I'm telling you, I'm waiting like you. I know you waiting too. I'm like, ooh, what is this going to be? Wow, that is just excellent. So now, does little chef go to regular school, or what is he doing?
Well, it's private school.
Oh, he's going to private school. Okay, is the school supporting him at all in his endeavors?
I just recently told them about the little chef thing, so they was all surprised and, you know, kind of into it and stuff. But I try to keep it separate. I don't know why, but I just try not to engage his schoolwork with his business. Like, I feel like it's just two separate things.
Mm.
Like, I don't want him to get like special treatments or, you know, stuff like that. So.
No, I can understand that. I mean, you just don't want the two to mix together. Yeah.
Right.
Wow, that is very, very interesting. Now, he has how many vending machines?
He has three vending machines.
He has three vending machines. Now, I don't know if you heard me earlier talking about the hair vending machines. Have you seen those?
No.
Okay, well, we'll have to talk later, but I can probably give you a good connect on the hair vending machines, because actually a black woman invented the hair vending machine, and they have really taken off. I know that there's a couple in Seattle that own a hair vending machine, and all it is a machine so that the client doesn't have to buy the hair themselves. They can come and pick the hair out of the machine, and then the stylist just puts in the hair.
Yeah, I never heard of it.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I'm telling you, we buy hair. We definitely buy hair. So why not get in on that one, I guess? But yeah, I'm super excited about, you know, the little chef and what he's going to do. Hopefully we can attend one of his demonstrations. What is he doing? Teaching class right now? Because I hear him talking, or somebody talking in the background.
Like, he's playing with his little brother.
Oh, playing with his brother, yeah. So now, what advice would you have for moms out there that are stay-at-home moms and they want to get something going? Because you're that mom that's at home. What would you say to moms, especially like single moms that are at home and they're struggling and they can barely piece together, you know, an income? What would you say to them?
To think outside the box. Do something that's different and don't follow trends, you know. And, I mean, you should be... I mean, it's so much that I could say.
Well, we want you to say it.
I mean, I just feel like you should think outside the box. If you do the same things that everybody else is doing, you're not going to get anywhere. And I feel like that's how we're getting now, because what other kids do you know that's cooking? I mean, it's kids that cook on TV, but do they have their own, you know, brand of clothing? Because we're working on getting him his own chef hats and jacket, a line for kids. We're working on cookbooks. We're working on, he does cooking demonstrations. Like, what other kids do you know that's doing this? So when we introduce that to people, they're like, wow, that's interesting, because they never seen it before. I just say, think outside the box.
Wow. Well, you know what? It sounds like you may be able to gain some extra income yourself teaching people how to think outside the box. But you know, there's somebody that I know that says there is no box, and that's the big problem. You think that there is a box. There is no box. The world is yours. So I think that you would be a great teacher for that. Now, something that I would like to suggest, we had a guest on our show a couple weeks back. Her name is Linda Keady, and Linda created a line of party supplies for children of color, mainly black children, right? So that means that they are characters that look just like, you know, our people. And then she's got, I think one is Chinese, a couple different cultures or whatever. But what if Little Chef could connect with Linda and somehow get his own party supply line?
That'd be great.
Yeah, so we definitely...
I mean, the more we can add on, like I said, eventually he'll be able to sit back and just see his money coming in. It won't even have to get up and do so.
Yes, he will be a mini laptop millionaire. Have you read that book yet?
No.
Oh, you gotta get that book. Read it to him.
Yeah, it's so much to learn, so I'm still learning every day, too. So I don't want to make it seem like I had an answer to everything, because I don't. I'm still learning, too.
Oh, no, you have plenty of answers, because I'm telling you, I'm amazed by you. You are doing really well, but I understand what you're saying. Yes, there is plenty to learn. Even us that have been entrepreneurs for over 20 years, just daily, it's a learned, learning experience. So we definitely, definitely, definitely appreciate you coming on. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to go to a commercial break, and then we're going to come back, talk to the little chef again, because I'm pretty sure he has to go to bed soon. What time does he go to bed?
Well, he doesn't have school tomorrow, but he does have to get up. And he has to go to another chef's kitchen, and they're going to work together and do some stuff tomorrow. But
okay. But we don't want to keep him up all night. So let's go ahead and take a commercial break. Everybody, you're listening to BIB Radio. We are on Black Talk Radio Network, and we'll be back after these messages.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media.
All right, we're back. That short little commercial break. So we want to talk to the chef again real quick, and then let him do what he needs to do to get his beauty sleep so he can be fresh for tomorrow.
Hi
DJ, how you doing?
Good.
That's wonderful. So are you excited about being a chef?
Yes.
That's good, because you know, I don't even know anybody that is 7 years old and a chef. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So this is what I'm thinking now. If you have a mom, or actually a whole family, and they want to change their eating habits, you know, they're eating fast food all the time, what would you suggest for them as a first meal at home cooking together? What would you tell them they should make?
Yogurt.
Okay.
Parfait.
A yogurt parfait?
Yes.
Okay. All right. What about maybe a salad?
Yes.
Okay, and I saw you on Fox 4. I saw you making a chicken wrap. So what if they had the chicken wrap?
Okay.
Chicken wrap would be good?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
What is your favorite thing to cook, LaChef? What do you really like most to cook?
Chocolate covered strawberries.
You are speaking my language.
Chocolate covered strawberries. Wow. And okay, that's like dessert. So, and what's your other favorite dessert to cook?
Okay. Nothing else.
Chocolate covered strawberries. Well, that's a great one.
Now, let me ask you, little chef, are you taking orders now? Are you taking orders for people to get the chocolate-covered strawberries?
No.
No. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, how can I taste your chocolate-covered strawberries?
I'll bring it to you.
Oh, okay. Well, good. So, Mommy has my information, so whenever you all are ready, I would love to order some of those chocolate covered strawberries and be able to taste your work, and we could do a Facebook Live event, and hopefully people will get strawberries from you after that, and you could just make people chocolate covered strawberries.
Okay.
All right. Well, little chef, it was so nice talking to you. Let's talk to Mommy real quick again, and then, we'll see you maybe in a couple weeks, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Good night.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so, Mom, if people want to reach out to you for some advice, which, you know, you are the expert now, believe it or not, if they want to reach out to you for some advice, if they want to see more of what the little chef is doing or communicate in any way, can you let our listeners know how to do that?
Okay, we are on Facebook as Little Chef DJ. He's on Instagram at littlechef.biz. The email is littlechefdj@gmail.com, and the website is littlechefdj.com for the website.
Okay, I'm looking at it. Let me check.
If you go on the website, it'll connect you to all the social sites, and then the email is on there as well.
There you go. Now, let me ask you one last question. Mm-hmm. Now, for the things that you're doing, Are you finding any like barriers to what it is that you want to do with your son, or are you just able to kind of sail through and do everything that you need to do?
I have some bumps in the road, but you know, if it wasn't meant to be, then you know it's just not meant to be. Then you have to find plan B. But everything seems to go, you know, pretty well.
Oh wow! Well, that is so wonderful. But you let us know if you need any help, and we are just happy to help you do anything that you need to do, okay?
Okay. I appreciate it.
Robert, you have any more questions?
Again, I just want to salute you, sister. One question. Do you homeschool your son or your children?
No, he goes to a private school.
Oh, okay, because it's just not the norm to hear... a 7-year-old cooking. Usually I expect to hear that from somebody that's homeschooling their child, because you got to spend a lot of time with him perfecting his craft. So that's why
we have, like, after school I spend time, you know, and cooking, that's a bonding between me and him as well. Well, with all of us, sometimes we all be in the kitchen. So it's just a bonding experience with all of us. But like after school, on the weekends, you know, Saturday morning, get up, make breakfast.
All right. Well, again, sister, I salute you, and keep up the good work. And you got those other children you're working on already, preparing their mind to go into entrepreneurship. That is a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
Okay.
What you're doing, sister.
Yes, keep up the good work, keep in contact with us, and we look forward to hearing from you again soon. When the show is over, I will share with you the link, and you can have it for your archives and his bio, and just share it around to everybody on Facebook, okay?
Okay.
All
nice
right.
Talking to you.
You too. Have a wonderful night.
All right, Ethan. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Well, everybody, that was the little chef, and I don't know why this thing is not hanging up, but that's just the way it goes. But yes, that was the little chef. I'm very excited about the things that he has coming up, and I'm really excited to see how excited he is, because if you look at him in his videos and on YouTube and on the news, you can definitely see you know, how proud he is of his work. You know, he's very proud of his work. So what do you think about that, Robert?
I get excited when I hear children. I'm excited mm-hmm. when I hear adults go in business, but I'm even more excited when I hear about children going into business, because you know, it makes me look at the future brighter.
Mhm.
But when you hear a child, when you hear about a child that's doing what he's doing, like you suggested to the mom, if there's anything that we can do to help you, reach out to us. That's exactly what we should be doing with our children, making sure that they have the correct information and aiding and assisting them to success.
I definitely agree. And so, what you know, my thought on that is, parents, really, even when your child is young, find out what they're good at, find out what they like, you know, and go ahead and hone in on that, you know. And I mean, it just is so valuable to tap into what makes them successful, because that helps them. Instead of having low self-esteem, they'll have high self-esteem. You definitely want to make sure you do that. Like, I was thinking back to when I was younger, there used to be so many programs, you know, so many things for children to do, and they were free. But nowadays, it's just not that anymore. We had band and orchestra in elementary school. I'm sure you did too, Robert, right? You had band and orchestra? Yeah, there was band and orchestra. Let's see, recess time, because I'm from Alaska. We could go outside and ice skate. So instead of just running around aimlessly on the playground, you could put on your ice skates and you could ice skate. Shoot, I think we even had Saturday school at my school, which I hated, but it was a great idea. But there was so many things available for the children to do. And unfortunately, parents are struggling with trying to put food, work in a job, and get from wherever it is that they need to go concerning like childcare. So they really don't have a lot of time. But parents, you got to take the time to figure out what it is that your young child is good at. And like I said, at an early age, I mean, you can even go like to the thrift store, get some keyboards, because there's always keyboards at the thrift store. I don't mean like the little chintzy kind. I mean, if that's what you want to get, you can. But you can get some nice size keyboards for $60 and under. You can make instruments at home. I mean, music is very important in children's development, because that helps develop their math skills and language and all kind of things. You'd be surprised. You know, we don't really have time to study these things, but again, my background is early childhood, so I know that. And then, you know, summertime, really capitalize on that. If you have your children in regular public school, really try to capitalize that on in the summertime, you know, because they don't have to go to bed as early or whatever. Stay up later. Teach them how to swim. Just there's so many things that you can do to tap into the genius of your child. And don't be afraid of like stereotypes, you know. There's nothing wrong with boys being in dance. Now, I'm going to just say that. I'm not talking about put him in a tutu and all this other stuff, but we know that there are famous dancers, you know, tap dancers, hip hop dancers, whatever. I mean, all of that stuff is very helpful in their development. And if you're not discovering it, who do you expect will? Because as we know, if you're sending your child to public school, 9.5 times out of 10, you're not going to find those teachers that we grew up with. You know, when I went to school, teachers cared. You know, nowadays, their care is limited. You know, their energy is limited. There's a lot of limits. So you cannot expect someone else to necessarily tap into the genius of your child. You have to be willing to do that. And I mean, it could just be simple, like get them paint, crayons, you know, like I said, the keyboards. There's so many things that you can do to figure out what it is that they're good at. And they might be good at every little thing that you put in front of them. Wouldn't that be a blessing? You know?
Right.
What do you think? What do you think, Robert?
Oh, no doubt. I totally agree.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, it's really simple things. Like, you know, people wait till certain benchmarkers for children to do certain things. I say the earlier that you introduce things to them, the better, you know, and that helps them be independent. You know, I think about one of the first things that you do with children, you know, is grow plants. You know, everybody's done that where you've cut out the little milk carton and you put a little bean in there and the bean sprouted. I mean, I don't ever know what happened to the bean. I think it died, like, every time I remember. But still, just let them do that stuff. I mean, you never know if they want to plant a full-on garden. I mean, that could spin into something entrepreneurial. What if they could sell the vegetables that they grow? I mean, you just be surprised at what these children can do. I mean, they have, like, no limits. We're the ones that put, like, caps on their brains and tell them they can't do it. I mean, it's just crazy. But as we know, if you look at Facebook, you'll see all kind of amazing stuff. I mean, really amazing. And this is a poor... Huh?
With the age of technology, I mean, the ideals are just limitless. I mean, you pulled up earlier today. What is that cup we used to... what is that...
Fondue.
Fondue, right. A fondue with a tea candle that you light that goes up under the it's like a coffee mug, but it has an opening like a candle burner, which I thought was just an ingenious idea. But only thing that was different, the tea candle goes up under the coffee mug and you put your marshmallows or your chocolate or whatever in there and it melts it. It was really simple. But somebody was doing some thinking, and that's what excites me about an entrepreneur. Somebody that can take the wheel and not try to reinvent it, but just make it better.
Right. Well, you know what? I was just thinking about something. If you really want to see children's ability, you know what I would do? I mean, there's so many things I would do over again if I had like a whole nother set of children. I mean, that's what I have really, because there's four of them. But if I had a set of children, one thing that I would do from an early age, I would take them to science fairs, like different science fairs around the schools, so they could see what other children have done. But that's very important that they see little people like them, you know, doing very, very smart things, you know, because there's so many poor examples or so many mediocre examples. You know, take them to some nice science fairs. I mean, I'm always amazed at what these children are doing or growing or scientifically putting together. I'm like, wow, who helped you do that? And they always tell me, well, no, I just did it myself, you know. Your parents might have bought the supplies, but these children, I mean, if you really, really are allowing for their genius to come through, they are doing some amazing things, really. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to look up some science fairs here. I'm going to go to some science fairs. That's a good idea. That's what we should do.
Yeah,
go to some science fair.
Something to check out. Science fairs, robotic. These guys come together and build robots. And that's another fair that would be something very, very good to go to, because you're looking at your future tech guys. These guys that come together and build these robots that smash into each other or whatever. You got to be pretty sharp to know how to build a computerized machine that moves and does what you tell it to do. And at a young age, you're doing this. So we definitely, those are the type of shows that we don't tend to frequent. And I just had, there was a few months back that came across my radar about a robot show. And I think it was on the news, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was on the news. And I heard about it, and my mind was, yeah, I should go, because these are the young people that we can use to deal with the things we need to do on a computer. And I just brushed it off. But those are the type of things that for entrepreneurs going into the future of business that you need to be homing in on.
Right. I agree with that. You know, I was always amazed, you know, first of all, at what I didn't know. I mean, I was in college and I was having a tough time doing certain things. And, you know, if with the computer, like, oh, I know how to get on the internet and all that, but like really doing what I needed to do, like creating, what do you call it? PowerPoints and all that stuff. I still don't know if I know how to create a PowerPoint, but I remember, I was starting my daughter off, you know, I wanted her to start doing some things. Later on, she would make sweet potato pies for money, which was great. But I wanted to learn how to do some canning. And so I just talked to her about it for a little while, and I was really tired. And, you know, you leave your children up sometimes because they're big enough. left her up, and she was probably in the fourth grade, I want to say. Yeah. So when I came back down the next morning, she had created a whole PowerPoint presentation on how to do canning. I was blown away. I'm like, when did you learn how to do this? I mean, it was a whole presentation on canning, and she's just clicking and moving and talking. I mean, like she's in a boardroom.
Wow.
I can't believe this. And after that, I was like, okay, anything I need done, that's her. And then later on, you know, I found out, because sometimes you don't know, found out that she could build websites. And I was like, when did you learn how to do all this stuff? I mean, I knew she was in a technology class for 2 years. You know, 2 years. She was, I think it was sixth and seventh grade. She was in a technology class. And she learned some wonderful things. I mean, I really don't love public school, but she learned some wonderful things concerning, you know, the internet, Microsoft, and everything she needed to know to really get some things done. So I was very proud of that. But, you know, again, to just round it all up again, you guys make sure that you are, you know, not just handing your children a smartphone, but you really getting them into the arts and just getting them active and tapping into, you know, who it is that they are, what it is that they can do, you know, music wise. I don't mean like trying to be Beyonce or anything like that. I'm not saying anything bad about Beyonce, so I don't want any hate mail. I'm just saying, you know, they should be learning how to play these instruments and, you know, just doing things to exercise their intellect.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's real talk there. I mean, we got to get these children putting their skills and their talent and their mind and energy. They got so much energy. Put that stuff to something positive and, you know, and watch and nurture and watch it grow. I mean,
right, definitely. Now I was looking. I was looking at the St. Louis Community College. They have some classes that are non-credit classes. I think some of them may be certificate classes, but these are not your regular classes. It's like auto mechanic, and you know, it's just those things we were talking about before, like just in enhancing your skills. I saw they had a class on there for sign language. You know, I took sign language last year or something like that. I wasn't very successful, and it's not that I didn't understand the work, but I had some barriers at the time, so I really didn't get to get into it like I wanted to. But I saw that they had a free class on sign language, and I think that's one of the things that I want to take the children to. You know, and if the children can sit through the class quietly, I think you could take them with you to these classes. But I think I want to take one of the children with me so that they can learn sign language. I'm thinking Jeremiah. I think I'm going to take him with me because I think that he'd be really good at that because he's got some excellent memory. And that would be really good because if they know sign language, then that's another language. You know, people don't realize that, but that is another language. And at these young ages, they can memorize so many things. And I mean, it's amazing. You just would be blown away. I saw a little girl that knew seven languages and she was like five.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm definitely interested in, you know, just really tapping into those things for our little people. What would you suggest to the parents? Like, you know, if they're entrepreneurs, but they're still, you know, entrepreneurs, but they're always at work. Like, how do you really, really pass this down to your children if you're just always at work?
Well, the first thing is to constantly speak it. You know, you got to constantly speak it, and then when you get that off time, if your off time is the weekend, take them to the flea market, rent a booth for the day or two, and let the children get the experience of dealing with the public. You know, it's $25 at your average flea market to rent a booth. Grown people are very kid friendly or child friendly. I hate to say kid. Kids are billy goats and animals. So
right.
We have to use the correct, proper, the correct English.
Mm-hmm.
Children. Children usually get more attention from adults when they're selling something, you know, and adults tend to want to try to help. They have a heart for young people that's trying to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I see a young person come to the flea market that's trying to sell something, I'm always awed by that, you know. Even if I don't buy anything, you know, I may say, here a dollar for your efforts, little bro, but I don't eat candy or whatever. So, I mean, if you're a parent, you got a child, you wanna, you know, expose him more and more, and you work in the 9-to-5 and you get the weekends off, Saturdays are good days at the flea markets to take your child, rent a booth, wherever city you are. It can't be, probably it's going to be around anywhere from $10 up to about $30 a day. It just depends on what city you are, how busy the market is, and who owns it or whatever. But that's a very small price to pay to give your child that type of experience. You see, yeah, I mean, where else are you going to give them that experience? I just thought about something as I was saying that. Another thing that you can do as a parent is what my mother did. She took us door to door selling World Book Encyclopedias, you know. And that's a product that I don't ever recall selling a set of encyclopedias. But I recall going door to door trying to sell them.
Right.
You see, so, but that experience, that was my foundation in entrepreneurship.
Right.
And I was a child then, so it'll stick to you if the parent gives of themselves the time to their child, it'll stick to you. It's a lot of parents that are at the flea market that are entrepreneurs that bring their children into the marketplace. Now, you have to really have balance with that because if you bring the child there and it's not and you're not thinking about passing that baton, then you're forcing that child to be somewhere where they're not getting any kind of enjoyment or benefit from it. But if you incorporate that child into the business and reward them for being there, then they would see that as an opportunity to get a reward and possibly see the benefits of doing what we do, you know. And that's, and again, going back to what we talked about with the earlier guest, children are eager to learn. This is just the nature of a child. They ask a lot of questions. If you find a child, a young child that is not asking questions, you need to get some help, find out what's wrong with that child, because that is not natural for a child not to ask a lot of questions. And a lot of times adults get annoyed by children asking questions. You should not be annoyed by that. You should try to answer each one of those questions to the best of your ability. If the child asks you the question 3 or 4 times, maybe you didn't explain it the way he needed to be explained to him. But we should always never shut them down from asking questions. Quit asking me so many damn questions. No. Let that child ask you questions. Because
mm-hmm.
That's the nature. Once you shut that down, you actually cut his growth off or her growth off, and you don't want to do that. You know, so, and a lot of times business people be so tied up into selling and tired from selling, and you know, the child is full of energy, and you just have to understand you used to be like that too. Oh, you know?
Right. And if they're not asking you questions, who are they supposed to ask?
Well, exactly.
You know, Dr. Frances Cress Wilson, I remember she talked about that in one of her her speeches, you know, how the child is always asking why, you know, and like you said, you should never tell them be quiet or shut up or stop asking questions. You definitely need to give them, you know, some answers, because that's just what they do. They ask questions. They ask why. But, yeah, I mean, shoot, I've been there too. It's like, oh my gosh, why are they asking 8,000 questions? And they will ask the same, like, think about Serenity. What is always her question? Where's Jeremiah?
Where's Jeremiah? Where's her brother at?
She knows where he is, but you don't get annoyed with her. She's two. Why would you get annoyed with her for using her words and her language? That is what she has in her right now. Where's Jeremiah? You just answer in the other room, in the bathroom. She's eating or what? You just answer her, you know, and that not shutting them off, that makes them open to doing the things that they need to do, including becoming young entrepreneurs. I'm telling you, I'm just really proud of that mom and what she did or what she's doing with her children. But what we're going to do now is we're going to take a break. You are listening to Black Talk Radio Network. We are BIB Blacks in Business, and we will talk to you again in just a second.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Well, all right, we're black. We're black. We are black. We're back. We are back. This is BIB Radio again. It is February 16, 2017, and we are in our last hour of our program, which, wow, time just flies when you're having fun. But of course, you and I, we have no problem talking. We do that all day. Right. And I want to tell everyone that is on hold listening, you know, if you want to ask questions, press ** so we can get you in and you can talk to us. No problem. We don't have a problem talking to you. We don't have to just talk to each other. We can talk to you. Press **. We'll get you in and feel free to get in on the conversation. What was I going to say? Okay. So again, that was Little Chef DJ and his mom, and the dad is there, but the dad has a job. So we'll just be dealing with his mom. So you all reach out to Little Chef DJ, find out if you could donate to what he's doing. And yeah, you'll be hearing more from us and them later on. I want to also encourage everyone to donate to blacktalkmediaproject.org. If you like what we're talking about, please support Black Radio. If you'd like to run a commercial ad in our program time, reach out to us at weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. We will discuss rates and creation of your commercial. If you would like that, no problem. Just reach out to us. Let's see what else. Yeah, listen to programming all day long throughout the day. This network is always on. You can always come right to blacktalkradionetwork.com and listen to wonderful programming that is available. We're also podcasted. We're on YouTube. We are everywhere now. I mean, I don't even have the list in front of me, but Scotty does such a wonderful job in promoting the station. Yeah, so just if you're interested, definitely reach out to us and we'll get you on. But the next thing that we're going to do now is we're going to talk about the Dudley Fuller Dudley Gala that is coming up At the end of May. I can tell you exactly when that is. Again, let's see here. Let me look at the invitation. The information, again, will be in BIB Radio. So it says you're invited to Joe L. Dudley Sr.'s 80th birthday celebration. And it's also the Fuller and Dudley Entrepreneurship Museum Fundraiser Gala, Sunday, May 21st, 2017, a black tie affair at the Benton Convention Center. I can't see this. 301 West 5th Street, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27101 is the zip code. 4 o'clock p.m. to 5 o'clock p.m. And the VIP reception is, let's see, at that time, then 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. We've got live entertainment and the gala itself. Now, this and the dinner, this thing here, this big celebration, this is only a portion of it. I believe the whole thing is like maybe 3 days. And again, I'll put that link in BIB Radio so you all can see it for yourself and buy tickets. I actually have a link, so my link, it's attached to me if you would like to buy tickets. But if you have any questions, of course, you could reach out to me at weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com and I can get you more information. But I would encourage everyone to definitely tap into what Mr. Dudley's doing. He's been in the hair care industry for years. His mentor, Mr. S.B. Fuller, they had recently come out with a book just kind of archiving what he's done throughout the years. He's mentored many famous people and businesses that you know, like Mary Kay. Imagine that. This is, you know, what's happened. A black man has mentored Mary Kay. And now that company, of course, you know, is just all over the place and been around for many years. S.B. Fuller was a very powerful man. So if you all haven't gotten that book, S.B. Fuller's book, let me see. I had the book, but unfortunately, I left it in Alaska. So let me see what the name of this book is. Book, okay. S.B. Fuller book. It is called, there it is. Okay. S.B. Fuller, Pioneer in Black Economic Development. Biography of the Man and Fuller Products Company. And it is done by Mary Fuller Casey, which is a relative of Mr. Fuller. I think it's his niece. I can't really remember right now. But yes, definitely get that book so you can learn about the mentor to Mr. Joe Dudley and come down to the celebration at the end of May. Again, the information will be in BIB, Blacks in Business Facebook page. But right now, we're going to listen to an interview that I did with Miss Denise Green. She's a young lady that works for Mr. Dudley. And it's so funny because she feels like she's a shy lady, but she did a very, very good job in this interview and this conversation with me in conveying the proper information. So we're going to listen to that and then just have a little discussion afterwards. And you know, I'm just going to encourage you all, really. I mean, if you're entrepreneurs, if you're not entrepreneurs, if you're a black person, you definitely belong at this gala. Last year, it was great. Minister Farrakhan was there. Of course, I never seen Minister Farrakhan in my life, but I had a great time. There was a whole Muslim community there. They all looked beautiful. They had on their garments, and the men were dressed sharply, and they just, I mean, you never seen black people just really put something on in such a way, because they ran the whole thing, the Muslim community, the Nation of Islam, let me say, let me not say, yeah, Nation of Islam. They ran the whole thing, and it was really, really nice. I don't know who's on the venue to speak this year, but if it is Minister Farrakhan, you definitely need to get out and listen to this, because it was really good, really encouraging. They had live music, and I just really, really enjoyed myself. It's something. Now, for all of you out there that like to network and you go to different events, and you know, you go to these events and you might see some black people there, or it might even be a black event. I've been to many events. I've networked a lot myself. Matter of fact, there's a networking event that I go to every year. But this particular event, it felt more home. I felt like everybody there really cared about what your business was and they were interested in helping you. So with that being said, you know, you could actually walk up and talk to Mr. Dudley. You know, he's going to be 80 this year, but he has not stopped moving. He has not stopped speaking, any of that stuff. So if you came to the event, you definitely get to speak to Mr. Dudley. But again, reach out to me if this is something that you would like to do. We could share the link with you. You'll hear the information on this phone call that I had with Denise. But you should go ahead and get your hotel room. It is in North Carolina. I'm already booked and ready to go. I'm very excited about the event. So without any further ado, we're going to go ahead and listen to the phone call that I had with Miss Denise Green of Mr. Dudley's company.
Well, hello, hello, everybody. We are doing a pre-recorded call with Miss Denise Green of Dudley. This is BIB Radio, which stands for Blacks in Business. You can listen to our show anytime you like if you go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. And you can search for our show information. Just look for BIB Radio in all capital letters on the website, and you can listen to any of our old shows that have been podcasted. But feel free to join us live, where you can call in and interact with myself and my co-host, Mr. Robert 11X Minor, every Thursday, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 o'clock p.m. every Thursday on Black Talk Radio Network. You'll be joining us on an Uber conference call. All you have to do is log in by doing www.uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network, and you'll be able to join right in with us. All righty, so let's get it started. Oh, also, let me tell you, you can join us on Facebook. Just type in large letters, capital letters, BIB Radio in Facebook, and you'll be able to see our up-and-coming shows. But today, like I said, we're going to speak to Miss Denise Green of Dudley. Now, if you all are familiar with Dudley, it's one of the oldest hair care lines around. Mr. Dudley has built a great empire, and he was also mentored by, what is his mentor's name, Denise?
S.B. Fuller.
Mr. S.B. Fuller, that's absolutely right, and there's a book talking about that. But what we want to do today is we want to talk about the gala that's happening. There was a big to-do last year. It was a gala. Now, tell us about the one last year, and then we can segue into the one this year. What was last year's gala about, Denise?
Okay, so actually last year, we can say last year now because we usually start saying it this year, but since it's a new year, it was actually last May. And what was it was pretty much like a pre-launch for Mr. Dudley, the Dudley Products, the foundation side. And the foundation side is S.B. Fuller and Joe L. Dudley's foundation. And what we're trying to do is just bring awareness and economic development. So it was kind of sort of pre-launch. We had it in May for Mr. Dudley's 79th birthday celebration. That Saturday, we had over 1,000 attendees. We had the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He was the speaker. And other great speakers at that event. So it was awesome. And then that Sunday, we had his birthday celebration, which was the actual gala. So it was an awesome event. And we had over 500 people to actually attend that event.
Okay. Now, where was the event held last year?
The event was held where it's going to be held this year in Winston-Salem, North Carolina at the Benton Convention Center.
Okay, perfect. So now what is the purpose of what Mr. Dudley is doing now concerning the gala? Like, what is he looking to do with our people?
Well, like I said, the foundation side is the foundation to bring awareness about economic empowerment in with businesses and in the actual community. So the actual gala is a actual fundraising gala, because all your funds will be contributed to the museum that we will be building as a foundation. And the foundation and the museum will consist of entrepreneurs such as yourself. If you become a successful entrepreneur, become a millionaire, we'll have displays of Mr. Dudley, his actual mentor, S.B. Fuller, John Nate Johnson of Ebony and Jet, and all those people who really laid the foundation of the Black economic empowerment in our communities. Also, S.B. Fuller, he was the mentor for many, many founders. Like I said, John H. Johnson, George Johnson, T.R.M. Howard, and so many more. So we want to, you know, after they die, you usually don't hear about them, or people my age or younger really don't hear about the business owners or the people of like the Dudleys. Usually, you know, you really don't hear about it. You hear about the rappers and so on. So what we're trying to do is we will have a display. You know what I'm saying? We will have a display just like Martin Luther King display, where, you know, young people can really come and go to the museum and see that you can take $10 like Mr. Dudley and buy a sales kit and work your way up to $35 million. Or you can be like S.B. Fuller, who was the richest African-American man during segregation. You can take $25 and run to a multi-million dollar business. So that's what we pretty much promote, is that you can start where you are, mm-hmm. and you can become a multi-millionaire or whatever you want to be. You don't have to just be an athlete. So just starting from scratch where you are, just like Mr. Dudley did, and his brand and business of the Dudley products, and you can spread it across nationally and internationally.
You know what? That sounds like an excellent plan. I know that the foundation is looking to do something in different cities across the country, right?
Absolutely. What we do now, Mr. Dudley started from his house. A small mm-hmm. group, first you have to start from the inside first and then work your way out. You know, you have to start with your own stuff. So he developed a mastermind group from his house, and then mm-hmm. it has grown until now we have actually, from last year, this short period of time, we have three chapters. We have a triad chapters, which is located in Winston-Salem, Greensboro area. We just launched the Raleigh-Durham chapter, and then we have a Charlotte chapter. So what we do in these meetings is that we read a positive book for like 30 minutes. Right, we just got finished reading Think and Grow Rich. And then we have a discussion on that book. Because, you know, once you come together, people bring so much power, and that's the power of an actual mastermind. So it's very important, you know, as you're thinking about business, you're thinking about going into business, or it's always good to have people of like-minded people around you. So that's what we do. We read for about 30 minutes. We discuss the book or how some of those principles can apply to your business, or what did you get from that book, and then we move on. We have a positive speaker, somebody who has already probably did a multi-million dollar business or who's very successful in their business, they speak. And then we, after that, we do like a networking part. So you will be able to network with individuals within the group, and Mike can collaborate with that individual. So we are developing these chapters. Like we said, we just have three right now, but they're growing, and we're tending to have over, we want to reach 500 chapters nationally and internationally.
You know, I am so excited.
So be waiting for it to come to your city.
Right. I'm so excited about this opportunity because I told the story a couple times, but, you know, I was a hairdresser before. In the 90s, I became a hairdresser. And this was in Anchorage, Alaska. And at that time, you know, we were using Dudley products. And here I am today in 2016 and 17, I'm closely connected with the Dudley Corporation, and it's like, wow, who would have thought that? Yeah, so I myself am looking forward to being more involved in what is going on. And if you out there are interested in becoming more involved and looking to heighten your entrepreneurial goals, I would say definitely connect with the Dudley Foundation and Dudley Corporation. Be a donor, be a participant, become a volunteer of what Mr. Dudley and his team are building. You are welcome to become part of the team. So, Denise, tell me, if people want to find out more about the gala or how they could become involved, what is the best way for them to do that?
As you always know, on social media, you can just type in Fuller Dudley, or you can look us up that way. But as far as for the gala, you can go to www.eventbrite.com, and there's, like I said, www.eventbrite.com. You can type in Fuller Dudley, and it will, the city will be Winston-Salem, and all the information will actually pull up. Now, it's a great opportunity right now if you're going to get it, because we're starting early this year. Well, it's not really starting early. We only have 4 more months. I mean, yeah, basically 4 more months. But what we're trying to do that Saturday for actually Mr. Dudley's 80th birthday celebration, and just to just talk about economic empowerment, because I think we're ready now as a people and about just coming together and working with each other and just collaborating with each other and just doing all these phenomenal things about trading against within each other. We will be having 10,000 entrepreneurs, business owners at that event. So that will be a great opportunity if you want to come out and see what we're doing. Please jump on the bandwagon.
Sounds definitely like something they should be interested in as entrepreneurs. We have to expand our minds, expand our horizons, and get around people who are like-minded, like you said, so that we can get things done. Because when you're around like minds, my goodness, no telling what will happen. But if you would like to get more information or purchase tickets, feel free to text the code G046-SISI, so G046-CC. So this code will get you the information that you need concerning the tickets and the hotel for the event itself. So we want to make sure that you all have the information that you need. I was at the gala last year, and I was blown away. It was wonderful to be in the presence of such great minds, especially Minister Louis Farrakhan and, of course, Mr. Dudley himself. I had a really great time, and I think you all will also. So reach out if you would like more information. Feel free to contact me at weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. If you have any questions and you would like to reach us for anything concerning this, of course, you can reach Denise also. She gave you all the web information. Denise, give it to him one more time.
It's www.eventbrite.com. That's eventbrite.com, and you can see the information there, and just type in Fuller Dudley, and you can see all the information and purchase your tickets. If you want to reach out to me, just reach me on Facebook at Denise Green, and that's Denise with no E at the end, the color green.
I was going to say, yes, you know, put the E on there. perfect. Well, Miss Denise, I thank you so much for spending time with me this morning, so that we can get the word out to our fellow entrepreneurs. Feel free to share this interview anywhere that you can in social media, so you and I can make our people aware of what is going on, so that they can get all that they need. That is what Mr. Dudley would like, so let's make sure that we're doing it together. I thank you for spending time with me, and we will talk again very, very soon, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful rest of the day.
You're the same.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that was my interview with Miss Denise Green of the Dudley Empire Organization, which is located in North Carolina. The event coming up is going to be in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and I hope you all can definitely join us because it is going to be a blast. Also, what Denise did was she told us about a couple of Black millionaires, and I suggest that you all study them because being wealthy is not new to us. It's not new to us at all. You know, it's just throughout history, we just have a whole lot of tragedy going on because of situations like Black Wall Street, where, you know, white people come and tear our things down. But you have some Black millionaires, Black billionaires, people that have really, really done some things. One person that she mentioned was it John H. Johnson? Yeah, John H. Johnson. So I have an article here from the Washington Post. And again, I suggest that you look up some of these Black millionaires. John H. Johnson from Washington Post. Okay, so it says John H. Johnson from office worker to millionaire publishing mogul. And this story is actually from 1980, but it's still relevant. It says 11 stories up, plush beige carpet spread across the floor of the office of all the way to the sliding glass doors. They open onto a long, spacious balcony set with tables and chairs. Beyond is Grant Park. The beyond is Lake Michigan. Oh, no, and beyond is Lake Michigan. So vast and glistening blue that it could be the ocean off Florida instead of the lake off Chicago's Michigan Avenue. John H. Johnson, the head of Johnson Publishing Company, the publisher of Ebony and Jet Magazine, is explaining how 31 years ago he purchased his previous office building, the one at 1820 Michigan Avenue. The owners were white and they were not selling to anyone colored, not in 1949. The situation was simple. He has several options. He says in a wry but business-like voice, I could have reported it to the NAACP. I could have marched around the building. I could have reported it to the magazine or in the magazine, but I wanted the building. So he did the obvious thing. He arranged for a white friend to claim interest in buying the building. This friend told the owners he wanted to send his maintenance man over to look at it. Johnson became the maintenance man, donned old clothes, and went to the building to check it over thoroughly. He decided he wanted it, and he told the white friend to buy it for him. I felt good, says Johnson with emblem. I knew I had bought the building. If I had to do it over again, I would. I stooped all the time to get what I wanted. This is the story of the most successful Black publisher in America, one of the most successful businessmen, Black or white, in America. Among Black businesses, his ranks second in sales with $61 million worth, only to Motown Industries, the Detroit Record and Entertainment Company. In has indeed gotten what he wanted. Maybe not as much by stooping as by ingenuity and clever salesmanship. Some would prefer a word like ruthless, but certainly all would agree on clever. He doesn't really have any competition in publishing in the Black market. Black men and women read his two top-selling magazines, Ebony and Jet, not including his two other publications, Black Stars and Ebony Junior. More than any other magazines in America, according to a poll published in Advertising Age this spring. With Ebony's circulation of 1.3 million, his closest competitor among Black women is not very close Essence magazine, with 600,000 readers. Among Black men, Sports Illustrated is second. Johnson says he helped Essence by letting them put subscription cards in Ebony. And I've never let any other magazine do that, he said. After 35 years of publishing Ebony, 38 years since
He first went into print with the now defunct Negro Digest. He still runs the publishing empire single-handedly, but the empire now includes more than publications. There is Black Music Radio Station, a Black music radio station, WJPC AM, the company's initials, the music from which is pumped into the high ceiling lobby and elevators of Johnson Publishing Company at 820 South Michigan Avenue. There is the successful 7-year-old Fashion Fair Cosmetics. 7 years old. He is also chairman and chief executive officer of Supreme Life Insurance Company, the firm where he once worked as an office boy and then became editor of its house organ. Through it all, Ebony has looked basically the same for 35 years. On the cover, Black stars, Black athletes, Black entertainers, inside success stories, made it up the ladder stories. The woman who sent her 3 kids through Harvard Law, the New York man sending 3 daughters through medical school, the first Black woman Rhodes Scholar, the Chicago secretary who opened her own factory, the Black casting director in Hollywood who puts people in non-exploitative roles, and so on. In 1935, Ebony began with stories like From Slave to Banker, 91-year-old Richard Robert Wright. We're trying to inspire people, says Johnson himself, the epitome of the Ebony cover story. Headline, John H. Johnson from office boy to millionaire publishing mogul. At 62, Johnson looks about 10 years younger. He strides into his office, a short, stocky man who talks in deep, unpretentious voice with a bit of raspiness. His tan summer suit jacket has a button vest underneath. He is always neatly and perfectly outfitted. One former staffer said he cannot remember ever seeing Johnson without either a vest on or his suit coat buttoned. He can pick and choose among the offerings of boards to sit on. Right now, he holds board memberships on Bell & Howell Company, Greyhound, Marina City Bank of Chicago, Supreme Life Insurance, 20th Century Fox Film Corporation, and Zenith. He is a trustee of the Art Institute of Chicago and the United Negro College Fund. He also sits on the advisory council of the Harvard Graduate School of Business. Well, you tell them if business school is preparing people for the outside world, they give us cases to read. And he says, a smile playing at his lips, you give them a little money, he breaks into a low, full-body laugh. Johnson is upfront and perpetually amused at certain incidents that now blend into his life history of business. Struggle hard fought. Any emotional scars have long faded behind the bemused brown eyes, at least for public consumption. I think that's supposed to be public. As he launches into twice plus told tales of how he made it, he leans back in his chair, hands clasped up in front of his eyes closed, and rapidly goes through the stories, sounding slightly sing-song in boredom. He has told them before, for the business school publications, the business magazines, and Reader's Digest. In 1942, it was as much as a hurdle to get the money to start his first publication, a Black news digest called Negro Digest, as it was to get it distributed. The first thing the distributor said was, "We can't distribute any colored books," Johnson recalled. "I said, if you knew the colored magazines would sell, would you distribute them?" The distributor said, "Why, sure." So Johnson, after leaving several of his cards on the distributor's desk, got a group of 20 friends from the insurance company to go to newspaper stands on the South Side and ask for the magazine. The dealers who did not have the magazine would call the distributor. The distributor eventually supplied them to the dealers. Johnson got some money out of the bank, gave it to his friends, and they went around buying the magazine. We made sure we never went to the same dealer. The only way to create demand was to buy. The dealers reordered. when the distributor called Johnson asking for more magazines, Johnson took back the very same copies his friends had bought. The circulating grew to 50,000 in 1 year. He doesn't forget these things. We'll be back after these commercials. This is BIB Radio.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the last half hour or so of BIB Radio. We just listened to a phone call with Miss Denise Green of the Dudley Corporation, and she mentioned a black millionaire. His name is John H. Johnson. And so we were reading about John H. Johnson, a very important guy. I'm going to post this story in BIB Radio so you all can look at it, because, you know, you probably want to read it again for yourself. I'm treating this like story time, I guess, letting you, and I'm reading it to you, but you can look at it for yourself later on. But we just learned about a little bit of Mr. Johnson and getting his magazine distributed. The people didn't want to distribute it because it was a Negro magazine and all this other stuff. But he created a supply and demand. So that's where we are. Okay, so the dealers reordered. When the distributor called Johnson asking for more magazines, Johnson took back the very same copies his friends had bought. The circulating grew to 50,000 in 1 year. He doesn't forget these things. A former employee relates this story. Strapped for cash, since most of his transactions had to be cash, Johnson fell into debt to his printer during the 50s. When he wanted to print in Jet, a surprising news photo of Miami white women shining a black man's shoes, the technician refused. Johnson balked. The printer said, "Pay up, and the picture is yours." Johnson cooled his heels. 10 years later, Johnson was the printer's second biggest client. One day, he sent the same picture back and told them to print it. They did. Mainly, he's trying to inspire middle class and striving to be middle class blacks, a class he once was fervently part of. We're not a happiness magazine. We still live in a country where there's lots of racism. We must challenge that, but we must do everything we can to improve our situation. Some argue Ebony is more happiness than journalism. I don't buy the rah-rah approach, says Grayson Mitchell, now a special assistant to George Johnson, no relation, a black Chicago businessman who runs Johnson Products. Mitchell left Johnson Publishing because of his own frustration with the limit of journalism there. Ebony is very much a reflection of Johnson's own estimation of the black intellect, and it's a perception not much different from whites. He thinks black people must be entertained. He thinks you must make them sing and dance. He doesn't view them as serious people who want to be informed about the world around them. The black educated household is tremendously more enlightened than that. This is 1980, not 1945. And Ebony essentially looks like it did in 1945. Ooh. Of course, somebody is still buying it. Long after Life magazine has come and gone and come back again, Ebony, which set out to copy Life's format, is still here. Pinched by soaring postal charges, Johnson makes up for it by increasing subscription rates. Increasing ad rates as high as $18,000 for a full-page color ad inside Ebony. There's something non-progressive about going back in size, says Johnson. So I've made a commitment to stay large. We'll never reduce. And he expects to be around. Imagine a white magazine with the same format as mine going out of business and me staying in business, says Johnson, referring to Life magazine. Now, I've got to know something. Okay. It says now, let me see, it's a long article. Like many powerful men, he lives elegantly. He has a condominium in the Carlisle on Chicago's Lakeshore Drive, the Gold Coast, lined with the high-rise residents of other powerful, wealthy people. His apartment is really to put together, featuring bathrooms equipped with jacuzzis, library walls covered with leather, and Picasso hanging in the dining room. It's a long way from the welfare roles that he had as he and his mother, with great distaste, went on for 3 years in the mid-1930s in Chicago. His office is equipped with a gym and barbershop. He likes big cars. He drives a Cadillac. A few warm vacations in Palm Springs, but not too many. He'd rather work. And pretty women, so the story goes. His wife, Eunice, is secretary treasurer of Johnson Publication Company and director of their enormously successful Ebony fashion show that tours the country every year. He has traveled around the world, been a special ambassador to the Ivory Coast and Kenya, received letters from presidents, which he put under glass in the awards room at Johnson Publishing, and visits from important politicians. The latest was Ronald Reagan, who flew to Chicago this month after speaking to the Urban League in New York. I'll meet with anyone who asks to meet with us, says Johnson, but we won't take sides in the election. He even owns a tiny $50,000 portion in the Chicago White Sox, an investment he made when Chicago was trying to keep the team in the city. He is the only Black with any money in the team, he says. He has no bosses, no stockholders, no board of directors. He doesn't need them now. And when he did, at the beginning, he couldn't find anyone who wanted him. I don't have any reason to go public, he says. Why get a boss after 38 years? He likes his employees at work on time, and in fact, when they arrive late, only 9 minutes past 9 a.m., the security guard makes them sign in. There was a time, he says, when if his editors and writers didn't finish assigned stories in 30 days, they were fired. Now we found ways to preclude that, he says. Just as a strict policy, he says, is that no writer should have to write on a subject with which he has problems. He wouldn't force a liberal Democrat to write about Black Republicans, Johnson says. He is, in effect, the head of a large family. Some paint a Norman Rockwell portrait of a man who gave many Black journalists their start when there was no other place to start. He is the man whose mother hawked her furniture for $500 so he could have enough money to finance his first publishing venture. When he became successful, he gave his mother her own office in the building and supplied her with red roses daily. She died 3 years ago. Her large office remains untouched and perfectly neat, almost a memorial. Others paint the picture of another John D. Rockefeller, the consummate businessman, a stern taskmaker who, according to one journalist, some would not let reporters out of the building for lunch unless they cleared it with the superiors where they were going. He is the man who said he would push over a 10-story building on a baby if it meant stopping a threat to his business. It was a joke, Johnson says, laughing about the line, an in-house joke. I said it in jest. I've never done it. He's a loner and a winner, and he intends to stay both. For instance, he declined to join a small organization of Black publishers. He earned what he got, says Waynette Sobers, vice president of Black Enterprise magazine, a member of this organization. Maybe he feels he's done all his fighting and he's tired. No, it was simply bad business to join. They were talking about all of us going in to sell an advertiser together, explains Johnson. I don't believe in group selling. He is careful, as are other blacks in publishing, to point out that he is not pitting himself against any other magazine. Excuse me. But he adds, I do not want to put the destiny of my company in the hands of anyone else, particularly if they haven't done as well as I have. Most publishers portray a vicious world out there for black publications who must fight against extraordinary economic prejudice. Still, for the business of white advertisers, and in that world, Johnson paved the way for black magazines, says Marcia Gillespie, former editor-in-chief of Essence magazine. If there hadn't been an Ebony, there wouldn't be an Essence. There wouldn't be a black enterprise. Very few people love him, says Mitchell, but they respect him. All he cares about is money. That's what made Mobil Oil great. That's what made all the great businesses of America. They will not tear down heroes. We would sooner not do a story, says Herbert Nipson, the executive director of Ebony. And yet it would be a news story, but we wouldn't do a future in Ebony. Do a feature in Ebony, I'm sorry. So this article is like extra super long. I mean, I'm like reading forever and ever. So I'm going to, or I think I already did post this in BIB. And if you guys would like to go back and read it about John H. Johnson, who was a millionaire. Sounds like he was kind of a pretty shrewd millionaire, but, you know, he did what he needed to do to get his money. That is one of the people that one of the people the Dudley Groups have studied. And I'm interested in finding out what other books that they have read as a group. So I will find out that information and we'll put those books in. Well, we'll put it in Facebook. And I have a Facebook group called CC and Friends Book Recommends. I'll put it there. And I'll also put it in BIB Radio. So just be on the lookout for that. But yep. Robert, are you there?
I sure am.
Oh, okay. Make sure you were still there. Didn't go take a lunch break. I didn't hear you saying anything. Lunch break, a.k.a. sleeping. But,
not tonight. I was, the first part of that story that stood out, and I appreciate stories like this, is this guy, he was a thinker. He deserved to have come up with this magazine, Ebony. When he was smart enough to know that he needed to play a role,
mm-hmm.
as an insignificant being to make a significant move.
Mm-hmm.
Went and put on some handyman clothes.
Right.
To go look at the building that he knew they wouldn't sell to him, so he found another Caucasian person that had a little liking to his person and used that man to get that building. See, that's that thinking. I love it.
That's that black thinking. I wonder if he had to pay his white, quote, friend to do that.
Even if he did, it was well worth the pay. You know, it was well worth it, because I'm sure that launched him into a whole nother realm of
Oh, it did.
Yeah.
It definitely did. Mm-hmm.
It was worth it. It actually has a parallel to a story that I tell people about how I found out about the Magic Trade Show in Las Vegas when I approached the guy, black man, and asked him how could I get into the clothing game. Could he tell me how to get into the clothing game? And brother told me that the game is to be sold, little brother, not to be told. And that was it. That's all he gave me. He said, you know, you come with some money, I'll tell you or not. And at that time, I didn't have no money. I was hungry. I was ambitious. I was on fire. I was ready to do something right, and that was how he positioned himself with me. And so my thinking was, after I went home and was pondering on how do I get into this clothing game, how do I find out what new fashions are coming out, it hit me as I was cutting off the UPS tag, shipping tag off a box. I looked at that UPS tag. I saw it says from sender to vendor, or to whoever the business that is going to. And when I read that, all the time I've been seeing that, I've been cutting it off the boxes all along. But this one particular time, because my mind was so determined to find out how could I find this information out, the light bulbs went off in my head, and I sent my little guys to all the clothing store in the city, the trash cans, to cut that tag off of those boxes. Go in the trash can, get those boxes, cut this tag off, and bring them back to me. And that's when I heard you say that about the brother from Ebony. That was the first thing came to my mind, and I first thought I had after that was, I'm going to be wealthy.
Mm.
That's what I said, I'm going to be wealthy. Just listening to what you just got through describing, I said, I'm going to be wealthy, and I'm determined to become wealthy.
Well, I'm pretty sure we're going to see you in the Dudley Museum that they're creating.
Well, I sure hope so.
Well, I believe we'll see you in the Dudley Museum. Well, I'm glad that story was inspiring. I'm interested in looking up the other stories on how Black millionaires have gained independence, you know, just those that we haven't even heard about. Again, I want to contact the Dudley Corporation and even Denise and find out what books they've read. I know personally when I was there, we did read the S.B. Fuller book. S.B. Fuller definitely is one that people should know about. I mean, he was dynamic. So if you all are listening, which you are because you're on here, look up that S.B. Fuller book. We'll post that again in VIB Radio so you can look it up. And we'll keep talking about the gala so you'll have information on how to get your tickets. If you missed any of the information, go to BIB Radio Facebook page, all capital letters, BIB Radio. Or you can contact me. We are blacksinbusiness@gmail.com. And we can get you the link so that you can purchase tickets. If you need help getting your hotel set up, car rental, all that, we can do that for you too. So all you have to do is reach out to us. Again, email us at weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. Let me tell you again, please support Black Radio. Go to Black Talk Media Project. Find out what it is that we're doing here at the network and reach out and support. And let's see. Yeah, that pretty much concludes our show. Robert, do you have anything else to say to the wonderful listeners tonight?
Yes, if you tune in to BIB Radio and you're hearing this, please go to your Facebook search bar, whatever city you in, type in We Are, and then look for, or type in the first few letters of your city, look for our BIB Blacks in Business logo and join in your city, or type in BIB, and that's all capital letters, B.IB, Blacks in Business, and then join us and become a part of the BIB family. Support us and just keep in tune with what we do and watch our movement. We got some bigger things planned, and we want you to be a part of our growth and be a part of this family.
Yes. Just remember, all capital letters, BIB, and you'll be able to reach us by that logo. By our logo and by just typing in BIB. So, I think we're going to bid you all adieu and good night. And we will see you next week on BIB Radio. Have a pleasant evening, everyone. Thanks, Scotty. Talk to you later.
All right.